We will have our homecoming the 11th of September. So you invite somebody, and we're just going to pray that we'll have a good day that day, and hope we can get some other people in church, some visitors, and hope that they just won't come just for the homecoming, just for the eating, but they'll come also to hear God's word. But I'd rather nourish on God's word than I had on that chicken and potato salad and all that other stuff we're going to have like that. I'd rather just be hungry and feed on God's word. So we just need to think about that. Plus two, I got some singers I'm going to try to get, and some different ones come and sing for us. That's Sunday afternoon around 2 o'clock, between 1:30 and 2 o'clock. We'll be meeting back over here for homecoming, and you just pray for that. And let's pray for all the ones that was mentioned in prayer this morning and this evening. And not only that, just let's pray for all the ones that we've invited to church. They just ain't seen no desire to be in church. So if y'all don't mind, just pray and pray. Let's pray one for another like we've never prayed before, because I believe that the time is now. If we don't do it now, it ain't gonna get done. And I believe that. But we just got a whole lot we gotta do. But if you will, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 9. In the book of Psalms, chapter 9. The book of Psalms. Chapter 9. Brother James, Sister Verna, glad to have you. Y'all come on back anytime. And you too, Sister Teresa, come on back anytime. We love having you. We just old sinners saved by grace. Amen. I'm still a sinner. But I'm saved by grace. All right. Here in Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish in thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right, and my cause thou settest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathens. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out thy name forever and ever. O thy enemy, destructions are come to the perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Thy memorials is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put thy trust in thee. For thou Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek him. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembers them. He forgot not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my troubles which I suffer of them that hate me. That thou lifteth me up from the gates of death. Our Father, we thank you, Father, for the reading of thy word. Father, we thank you for the songs that's been sung. Father, we thank you for each and every individual that's come out tonight. And Lord, we just pray, Father, that you will just take me tonight, Father, that you may speak through these lips of clay. And Father, that the words of God may go out among the people and touch their heart in a way, Father, like it's never touched before. But Father, I'm asking tonight, Lord Jesus, that you'll touch my heart first. And Lord, that where I can preach the unadulterated word of God. And Father, I just want to thank you for your love and thank you for your Savior. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. Amen and amen. We're seeing a whole lot of two-letter words in here about thou hast. Thou hast. The title of it tonight, I think, I'm going to put it this way. I will, for thou hast. The Lord Jesus Christ, he not only just saved us, but he saved us for a purpose. He saved us that we can be dedicated unto him. And how we are dedicated unto him, it tells us in verse 1. I will praise thee. I think that's the first point of dedication. And knowing that we have been saved by the grace of God. And not only that, we have what God has given us that lives on within the inside of us. I cannot praise God with this body. I cannot praise God with the flesh that's hanging on these bones. But the only reason I can praise God is because of what's living on the inside of me. He became my Lord and my Savior. He became my Redeemer. It's something as big as the devil was that was living within my heart. God was much more bigger than the devil could ever get. So that the Lord Jesus Christ allowed the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, to move in my heart and to move within my soul, to move within my voice, to move within my own heart, that I may give him praise. That I may give him honor and I may give him glory. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I don't praise the Lord because of what you see. I praise the Lord and for what he has done for me at Calvary. And if any of us today will recognize and know that we cannot praise God unless we have first been to Calvary. Amen. We cannot praise him unless we first been to Calvary. And I believe Paul said it right. Paul said that he needs to be crucified daily. We all need to be crucified daily. I need to be crucified daily. I need to be crucified every moment or every day. Not just daily, probably for every minute. Why? So I can strive to be like Christ. Unless I strive to be like him, I cannot call myself a Christian. That's you're saying something there. You're right. If we don't strive to be like Christ, we cannot call ourselves a Christian. Some people don't like that. But that's the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer. He came from heaven. He came as from heaven and he took up the body of mankind. That where we could go to heaven one day and be there with him. I'm not going to hell. I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I've had people to ask, tell me, say, you don't know if you are or not. And I tell them, all the time, I say, well, I didn't see you there at my home when I accepted the Lord as my Savior. You wasn't there. Something took change within my own heart, in my own life. And then I had a desire to serve him. And not only that, I think really we need to go a little further than that. Than asking the Lord to save us. So we need to ask the Lord to be the Lord of our life. He needs to be the main one that we go to. And I was telling you, church, that here the other week, we need to make sure that when we go out here and we witness and we talk to people, we need to, yes, we can pray for them. And yes, and they can get down on their knees or they can stand up and they can pray. They can pray the sinner's prayer and they can ask Jesus to come into our heart and save our soul. And yes, and they will be saved. But I think it's more than that. I think it gets to the point that where we have to tell them, don't you want to make him the Lord of your life? And making him the Lord of your life means business. Means business to where we can approach him at any given time. We can approach him and we know that he hears us. Oh yeah, he may not answer my prayer the way I come it to him about, but he does answer them. He does answer them on his own terms. He's never too late. He's never too early. He's right on time. Right on time. I've said time and time again, I wished it that I had went to church when I was a whole lot younger than what I was. I wish the Holy Spirit would have got a hold of me back then. But he didn't. Why? Because of my own life. Because I had not got down so low. The way I got down so low that I was under the snake going through the yard. I was so low I was up under him. You couldn't see me. I had to get that low. We all had to get that low in our life before we could ever recognize that we needed something else than what we had. Yes, I needed a Savior. I needed one to love me and to care for me. I didn't want to just be loving somebody else and caring for somebody else. I wanted somebody to love me and to care for me. I knew my wife did. I knew my daughter both. Both of them loved me to death. And both of them care for me. Matter of fact, I'll go further than that. They just spoiled me rotten. And I don't mind telling people. But I thank God for it. But the thing about it, they did not go to the cross. They did not go to the cross, and they would not go to the cross. I wouldn't go to the cross. I'm being honest. We say that we would, but when we really come down to right to that point, when we get to that point, when the cross is laying right there, and we got the people right beside of us, are we willing to say to the people, I'll go all the way? We don't know what we'll do until we get to that point, but I know my own self. I wouldn't go to the cross. And knowing that gives me comfort in knowing that I have a Savior there in heaven that went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for not only me, He went to the cross for you and for the whosoever. And the whosoever is every living individual that has ever breathed the breath of fresh air. Hell was not created for man. Hell was not created for me. Hell was not created for you. Hell was not created for that drunkard. Hell wasn't created for that individual I hear cursing God out. That's not the reason hell was established. That's not the reason hell is there. Hell is there for a reason. And the reason is for Lucifer, for the devil and his cohorts there. And the angels there in heaven that followed Satan. See, like I said this morning, when I spoke on the predestination, there's not but one that after He created the heaven and earth, and before He had created Adam and Eve, some may say I'm wrong, I don't know. But I do believe this. There's not but one individual that was predestined for hell. Not predestined for heaven, but predestined for hell. Why? It was Lucifer. It was him. Why was he going to hell? Why did God create hell? He created for the devil and his angels. He ain't created for me and you. He said for whosoever. Whosoever means everyone. Not just a handful. Not just like some of these I hear is preaching today that, hey, they don't believe in eternal security. A preacher that stands up here and preaches, or somebody that teaches and don't believe in eternal security, why am I going to go there and listen to them? Because if they don't believe in eternal security, how could they absolutely tell me that they're saved that day? They can't. An individual that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and don't believe in eternal security, I don't believe that they ever got saved. That's my thing on that. But I don't believe they ever got saved. Because once God moves into your heart and your life, you're going to want to do what you want to do. You're going to serve Him. And I'll be honest with you. If it had been any other church or any other congregation there here in the city of Danville that had other people in it besides of what the people that are here at Faith Baptist. The doors would be closed and they would be locked. And there would be a chain down at the entrance to the driveway. But you know the reason it's not? Because of God. Because we love God. We know what God wants. And if you know what God wants, what do we got to worry about? We don't have to worry about nothing. I don't have to worry about a thing. In the last year, I've went through some battles. But I'm putting my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has touched me. Yes, oh, my legs is not completely well. But at least I can get down from up here and I can get out there and I can walk back that way you are without a cane. And I'm not bragging. But what I am doing, I'm bragging on the Lord. Because it's God is what's done that. Not me. Because really, if I come to think about it, I'd probably be in the hospital on my back. Looking straight up. Or I'd be in a nursing home somewhere. That's what I deserve. I don't deserve life. I don't deserve what He's given me. I don't deserve this church. I don't deserve Faith Baptist Church. I don't deserve you that are here tonight. I don't deserve it. But one thing about it, I believe this right here is the key to an individual, any individual, is that once you're saved, you know that you're saved, you're going to want to do everything that you want to do to please God. You're going to want to be in church. You're going to want to do this. But you want to make sure God is in the midst of it all. Oh yeah, I could have got out of church plenty of times. The way some of the churches are and the way the churches that I've been to, that some of the things that they said about me and stuff like that, running me down and saying this and that about me, did I let it bother me? Yes, it bothered me. It bothered me that other Christians were saying that. So-called Christians. That's the only reason it bothered me. But it did not bother me to the point that I was getting so discouraged that I wasn't even coming back to church. And I wasn't so discouraged and say, well, if that's a Christian, the world is full of them. We don't need to look at it that way. We are supposed to do what God has asked us to do, asked me to do. I cannot go out here and do something that the Lord has spoken to you about doing. That's just like visiting. Now, some people, they never have understood it, but I'm going to try to explain it to you tonight, if I can, in the best way I know how. I believe, as far as visitation goes, yes, we need to go. But if the Lord Jesus Christ puts an individual's name on your heart and doesn't speak to me about it, doesn't speak to nobody else about it, but speaks to you as an individual about it. I'm not the one to go to them. God is preparing that individual, God is preparing their heart for you to call them and for you to go and for you to talk to them.
But I know some people, they just don't think that they can do it. I thought the same thing right after I first got saved. Right after I first got saved, I was in, and I've told you before, the church, that I was visiting the hospital. Because my pastor asked me to, because he's going to be out of town. And I went to the hospital and I visited him. I didn't know the people. He knew them. But he told me, he said, I don't know if they're saved or not. He said, they just visited your church. And he says, I just thought, you know, somebody needs to go by there and see him. He said, I was aiming to go, but I've got to go to Richmond now. And I can't go. But he asked me, he said, would you go and just visit them? Just let them know that the church is thinking about them. I said, sure. I went up there the next day on my lunch hour. I'd done a whole lot of my visiting then on my lunch hour. I felt like it, that if I could go and visit other people, and if I could visit them and giving them something that they could hang on to, that would give them some kind of hope. That I knew the Lord was going to take care of me physically. But I went into that room that day. And I just went up to her and I told her, I said, you don't know who I am. I said, but you visited your church here the other week. She says, which church was that? I says, Brother Billy Skiss is the pastor of Brush Arbor. And I said, he was aiming to come up here when he heard that you was in the hospital. But he got called out of town. He had to go to Richmond. He was in the National Guard, so when they called him, he had to go. It won't put it off to know tonight or he'd be there in the morning. He had to go right then. Sometimes he'd get calls at 4:00 in the afternoon. And he got off at 5:00. And they said, we need you up here. He went up there. But saying all of that, I went up there and I talked to him. And we just had a good conversation. Because I'll be honest with you, I was scared to death. How many of you, if you go out and you see somebody and you know within your own heart and soul that you need to speak to them? How many of you can just raise your hand tonight? And it's not going to embarrass you. I'm not embarrassing anybody. But have you ever thought about, I can't do that. I can't do that. But yet we can go home. We can get on the telephone. Or we can go out dancing to our next door neighbor. We can sit down. We can talk to them about everything else, but we can't talk to somebody that really needs the Lord. And at that time, I just couldn't do it. I was too timid. Matter of fact, I was still bashful back then. After I got saved, I was still bashful. I couldn't speak to people. But I had a word of prayer with them. And I told her that I'd come back and I'd see her again. And I said, Brother Billy, as soon as he gets in from Richmond, I know he's going to want to come up here if you're still up here. She says, that's fine. So I walked out the door.
And them doors, you know how wide they are. I just pushed the door on open. It was, I mean, looked like when you open it, looked like you was opening two gates. Letting tractor trailers in there. I mean, the door was so wide and everything. And I don't know why, but it was slow. Usually you can take them and push them, and they just go on open. But I don't know what it was that day. The door was slow in opening. I didn't know what it was then, but I do now. It was God on the outside of the door. And he's keeping his both of his arms, his shoulders, his chest. He was standing outside the door, holding the door. He didn't want the door to open. I know he speaks a lot about the door in the Bible. But see, this time he didn't want the door open. Why? Because there was somebody in there that needed him, needed the Lord. And something spoke to me, and I reckon it was the Holy Spirit, I reckon. Spoke to me and says, well, it's not going to get it over with. You've got to do it. I said, what? So I said, what? I didn't get no answer back. By that time, the door started easing open. And then she called me back over there. She says, preacher, I said, I'm no preacher. I said, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm no preacher. She says, I want to ask you something. She said, is there any way at all that you could come back up here and visit me and teach me how to pray? I says, I can do it now. That's simple. That's so simple we make it hard on ourselves. I said, I want to ask you something. I says, how long have we been talking? She said, probably about 15, 20 minutes, I reckon. I says, did you have any other way that you wanted to speak to me than what you spoke to me? Or was it hard for you to speak to me and everything? She says, no, it wasn't hard. Because I could see that you love God. I says, did you realize that's all God wants from you? God just wants us to come to him and just talk to him. And I said, but yet we got people out here that's got to use these great long words that I don't know what they're talking about. They don't even know what the word means. And I'm just wondering if God has then just turned his ear off to them. Or maybe God don't understand what they're talking about. I says, no. She says, is that all I got to do, just talk to it? I said, yeah. I said, and he's there. He'll hear you. I says, you know, this afternoon, even after I leave here, you could be in here by yourself and you could start talking to God. And then the next thing you know, you'll feel like that something's up against you. You feel like there's something is so close that there's a presence that you cannot comprehend, you cannot understand. that present is nobody else but the Lord God Almighty. He wants to be in the midst of you. He wants to be there where you're at. Because the Lord has done. He has done. Thou hast done it all for us. It's nothing that we have to do. The only thing that we have to do is just accept Him or reject Him. And if we reject Him, we liable to go out here and tractor trailer liable to hit us and kill us. And when He had the opportunity at that particular moment to ask the Lord, because it was so quick, so quick, I believe that He's coming back that quick too. I believe that He's coming back after me and after the ones that are saved will come back so quick. No, we ain't going to have time to get out from under the automobile if we change in oil. We ain't going to have time to go in and I ain't going to have time to go in and take a shower. I ain't going to have time to go in and get dressed. Why? It don't make no difference in that. Because once He comes after me, once I leave, I'm going to have a glorified body. Ain't nothing I'm going to have on, even the flesh that I have. It's not going to be on. But He's going to clothe me in the garment that He has for me. He's going to put the robe on us. Did you realize that there's a verse in the Bible? Isaiah 61 and verse 10 speaks about the garment. Speaks about two pieces of garment. The first one is the garment of salvation. He has wrapped us up into that particular garment in His love and His salvation. That where the devil cannot get to our soul, he cannot destroy us. Oh, he wants to, like he wanted to do to Job. But God told him, he says, Satan says, you do anything to Job you want to. Cannot take his life. Job lost everything he had. Everything he'd worked for, he lost, except for his life. He didn't lose his faith that he had in God either. Why? Because Job knew in whom he was serving. Even Paul today, Paul knew in whom he was serving also after he got on the road to Damascus. And when he felt that light from heaven come down and was with such force, it knocked him to the ground. And he had his followers right about around him. They didn't understand nothing. They didn't understand none of it was going on. See, Paul had an education. Paul had an education. He had an education of speaking in different languages. I think it was either 7 or 8 or 9 different languages that Paul could speak in. Paul could speak to whosoever he wanted to.
That's the reason he had that. But Paul, nowhere in his writing you'll ever find where Paul wrote a book that it is so complicated that I can't understand. That a child cannot be able to understand it. Why? Because Paul was a simple man. A simple man. And that's all God wants us to be. God wants me to be just a simple man. God wants you to be a simple lady. He wants you to be a simple man. That's what God wants. He wants us to be simple. He wants us to not get into all the worldly things and coming with all these words and everything. I mean, how many of you ever heard of and seen, well, I ain't going to say heard, but seen some of these preachers, and I don't know what they are really, but out in public and they are on TV and everything, and they have to stand up there and they have to give, I don't know what they call it, but basically what they're saying is that they're going to give a word of prayer. Well, for me, a word of prayer comes from the individual's heart. But what did they do? Well, where is the thing at? Oh, here it is. Our Father, and they'll read the whole thing. They don't even know what they're reading. They don't even know the meaning of anything that they've read. They're just reading it. Why? So they could look so sophisticated. I don't need to be sophisticated to serve God. Do you? You, Brother James? No, we don't need to be sophisticated to serve God. I believe when we get to that point in our life, then we are saying, God, I can handle this now. I can handle it. What we got to go through? We got to go through a business meeting, but God, I can handle it now. I can't handle nothing. I can't handle it. I can't even handle my own self. You can ask my wife that. She's sitting right back there. If it weren't for my wife and my daughter, I mean, I couldn't even get to church. Because I can't drive no more. They say I can't drive. So they have to drive me. But I thank the Lord that He's given me somebody that can drive me. I know of plenty of individuals. I know plenty of preachers where their wife don't drive. But I'm thanking the Lord that He drives. He can also drive me. And He's my all. He has an altar in my automobile, which I've had to enlarge it. I've had to enlarge it from the left side to the right side. I don't use my steering wheel for my auto anymore. I use the dash, and I use the what my daughter calls, you know, that little strap that's on the side. You know what my daughter calls it? The Jesus strap. The Jesus strap. because she has to get a hold to it. Sometimes, because if she don't, she says, I'm going to end up having a wreck or something like that. And she says, I got to get a hold of my Jesus strap. Just hold on. And we'll be going somewhere like that, and I'll be in the back seat. And she said, oh, no, I got to make a turn up here. She says, Daddy, grab a hold of Jesus strap now. We're going to come around that curve. And Lord have mercy, one day she forgot, she didn't tell me, and I was on the right side of the vehicle sitting, and bless Pat, she took that right turn, and when she did, I ended up on the left side, and if the door hadn't have been locked, I believe I'd have probably fell out, because the door would have automatically opened. She says, you all right, Daddy? I said, well, yeah. Right now I am. Thank God that we do have a Jesus strap. Thank God that we do have one that we can hang on to. Amen. Brother Bill. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And Father, we pray tonight, Lord, for each one of the individuals that came out. Father, I'm asking you now, Lord, that you will take each word that was said from this voice, Father, that you would put it together. And you would put it into sentences and into paragraphs to where the individual can be able to understand it a little better. Father, because I know that I rambled some. And Lord, and I don't know why that it happens to me that much, but it does. But Lord, I still am thankful that I don't get away from you. Now, Lord, we just pray. Father, that you would be with each and every individual that made their way out tonight. Be with them. Father, if they have something on their heart, Lord, we pray, Father, that they will come forth. The altar's always open here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.